You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To The Journey is brought to you by Audible.com. Offering more than 150,000 titles for your tablet, smartphone, and desktop. Support the show and get a free audiobook of your choice by visiting audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
At home and welcome. This is another episode of To the Journey. My name is Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as he is every single week, is the wonderful Tristan Riddell. How are you today, Tristan?
I'm doing just fine, and I am wondering how you are doing.
Well, I am doing very well. I am a little warmer, maybe even a little more tan, just a shade. I came back from a week in Phoenix, and it was glorious. And now I'm back in the tundra. To freeze once again, but I heard that Chicago wasn't faring much better while I was gone, so just par for the course in the Midwest, I guess.
Yeah, no, it was pretty bad for a couple of days here in Chicago. It was a lot of, I think the schools closed twice.
Ooh.
Just okay. From cold.
You know it's bad when schools in Chicago and in Minnesota and Wisconsin are closing down.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Like, the university that I work for has closed its doors due to cold and weather twice in the past 25 years.
Wow.
And that's it. And it did not close its doors this season, even though it probably should have.
Oh, okay. I was just going to ask if this last week was such an occasion.
No, it was not. But, see, that's the thing, is that, my goodness, I wish it was... Every single time I want to travel or go somewhere, all I think about is Star Trek. I'm just like, why can't we have, why can't we
transporters.
Have transporters?
We need them so badly, because even though flight travel is an amazing thing, I mean, Phoenix to Fargo it's just a couple of hours. It's incredible.
I know.
But transporters are just, it's so instantaneous, and you could go there for the weekend and thaw out and just... go back feeling really good every week.
There was an episode of Deep Space Nine where Sisko was talking about his days at the Academy, like his freshman year. When he first got there, he went home every night.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure it was Sisko. Fans, if I'm wrong, correct me. But I'm pretty sure it was Sisko, and he's just like, said, he's like, yeah, and my parents were, they didn't complain. They didn't ask me, why am I doing this? They just said, hey, son, welcome home. You know, here's dinner and everything like that. And he said that they knew that he would just get used to a situation there. And I think about that all the time. You know, like living in San Francisco and then going to school in San Francisco and then going home for dinner in Louisiana.
Right. Yeah, that's going to be the nature of things once we do have transporters. That's just what they're used to in their day and age.
And think about how much that would open up the job market, because so many people say, like, when, I was out of work for a while, a year ago, and I kept saying, like, I'm going to go where the work is. I'm going to move where the work is. But moving is so expensive, and not a lot of places offer relocation expenses anymore.
Right. Yeah, they don't. Plus, it's a big, huge pain in the rear end to move. Pack everything up, get into the van, drive wherever you've got to go. Yeah. In that truck that can only go 55 miles an hour tops, so everybody's passing you on the highway, and it's such a pain.
And then, we could, live wherever we live. We could live where our families are, where our parents are, where our aunts and uncles are. And I could work in London if I wanted to. I would just have to commute to the transporter station.
Right.
I know.
Why are we not in the 24th century?
I was so, so many people say, like, oh, he's a man of a different time. Like, he needed to be around in, he's just a huge thug. He would have been fine in caveman days. Or, like, oh, she needed to be in the days of Jane Austen. And I'm like, no, I needed to be in the days of the 24th century.
Yeah, me too. I would live in Phoenix, most likely, where I would have a pool and in our house and just live in the luxury of the sun. But go to work in Fargo, that would be fine.
Yeah.
And alas, we're in the 21st century, and we have a great topic this week. We are doing a comparison, which is something we haven't done in quite a while, so I'm glad we're bringing it back. And I think we've got two fantastic episodes to talk about. We are talking about Voyager's Tuvix, which aired in Season 2, and Similitude on Enterprise, which aired in Season 3.
And Tuvix, it was in 1996, and Enterprise was in 2003. So there was quite some distance in between these episodes.
Yeah, a few years spread between them, yes.
Being a fan, like being hardcore fans like you and I are, and also I'm assuming the people who are listening to us, it's funny how you see not just themes pop up over the decades and decades of Star Trek, but just direct plots that are so similar that they had to have been taken, or the writers are just fooling themselves.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what our comparisons are about. We're taking two episodes with really similar plots, just on different shows or on different aspects of Star Trek, different series. And we're going to talk about what we liked about them and what we didn't like about them, how they're similar, how they're different. And in the end, is one better done than the other? So why don't we just kick this off and get into it?
Yeah, I want to talk about the summary of each episode, because we've gotten a few comments here and there that we that not everybody is obsessed like you and I are, and so we need to explain the episodes a little bit more.
You mean haven't memorized the synopsis? All of our listeners out there, all millions of people, right?
Yeah, so it's just something that I don't even think about. I'm just like, oh yeah, Tuvix. Oh yeah, Similitude.
Right.
Yeah. And then you just go in and talk about it.
Has them in the brain. Plus, we do refresh ourselves often on what these episodes are about, and not everybody does that. So, synopsis, if you would please, sir.
Yes, so Tuvix is the Voyager episode, and it's all about a transporter malfunction. And I'm sure you guys are thinking, oh my god, that's so original. Transporter malfunction?
Yeah, I know. They've never done that.
So Tuvok and Neelix are on a planet. They're collecting samples of plant life that could be a good source of nutrients and vegetation. They pick this interesting type of orchid, and then they have some sort of problem with the transporter, and they transport them back up. And lo and behold, Tuvok and Neelix are no more, and we have a perfect blending of the two with Tuvix. And long story short, they don't know how to split Tuvix back into two individuals, and Tuvix has the memories of both parties, but a one singular consciousness. So he's a new life form. And so he kind of gets integrated into the crew over the course of 2 weeks after the doc and Janeway try to figure out ways to get the crewman back. And, you know, there's some strife with Kes because she is in love with Neelix and very close with Tuvok, and so she doesn't really know what to do with this situation.
It's a little weird for her, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little weird for her, And so, you know, like, people are still working, but yet he acclimates and he gets along. But then when the doctor says, hey, you know, like, I found a way to do it, Tuvix goes, I don't want to die. And so thus we have the moral conversation of, well, he doesn't want to do the procedure, but the thing is, two other people's lives are hanging in the balance. And in the end, Janeway decides to split Tuvix and get her crewman back. And with Similitude, which is an Enterprise episode, we have a very, very, very similar episode structure where there's an accident at the beginning. Trip, the engineer, falls, hits his head, and he needs surgery. He needs a transplant, and no one can give him a transplant except for himself.
Right, yeah, he's in this coma.
He's in a coma, and he can't talk, he can't do anything, and this is the season where Enterprise is on their mission, the Zendi mission, it's the Ark, and they need to save Earth. And Archer's like, I need my engineer. Like, the Enterprise needs its engineer, and Earth needs Enterprise. And the Doc Phlox goes, well, I could clone him. It's not ethical, but I can do it.
Yeah, he's got, like, this weird, like, what is it? Like a tofu sponge. You take the DNA, and it becomes a perfect replica that lives for 14 days?
It's something like that. I can't remember the exact time frame, but so it's going to have an accelerated lifespan. So its childhood's going to be really short. And then Archer decides to do it. And so we see this being grow up really, really fast. And Phlox basically raises this baby very, very fast. Mm-hmm. And but the thing is, the clone starts to have memories of Trip.
Right.
And which is very weird. They did not expect that because it's a clone. Why, you know, like memories aren't genetic, but maybe they are in this, you know, in this timeline, in this, you know.
Yeah, with this procedure, whatever. Maybe it is.
Yeah, something like that. And so he starts to integrate in the crew. He starts to hit on to Paul as a young man.
of course.
And he starts to wonder, is like, okay, these feelings and these emotions that I have, are they mine or are they Tripp's? And so he has this identity crisis. And Archer kind of keeps his distance and doesn't want to be around him because it just kind of freaks him out. And then, like, he takes the name Sim. And so they're kind of, you know, he feels like Tripp. He starts to think of him as Tripp. He's like, I have Tripp's memories. I have his feelings. Why? How am I not Tripp? And Archer's just like, you're not Tripp.
Yeah. They make, like, they go to an effort to really make that distinction, too.
Yes, they really
do. Paul does and Archer does.
It was very well crafted, but Phlox says, Phlox finds out, well, if I perform the procedure for the transplant, you're not going to survive. I thought there was a chance, but it's not going to happen. And then so Sim's like, well, I don't want to do it then. And then people are like, well, you don't have that much long left. And he goes, he's like, that doesn't matter. It's still my life. He tries to escape, but then he realizes that if he steals a shuttle pod, he's just going to die an old man in a shuttle pod anyway, because there's no habitable and planets around. And so he ends up going along with the procedure.
I think you're missing one thing. Wasn't there also something with was kind of experimental, like Phlox had only read it in really preliminary research about prolonging the lifespan where it was possible.
Right.
It was really risky and there was no guarantee it was going to actually happen. But he could perform a procedure on Sim that would expand his lifespan, stretch it out to where it would probably be pretty close to normal, but it interfered with the window to save Tripp.
Yes, you're
so
right.
So there's
you're
the real
right.
conundrum. Who do you save?
That's right. Who do you save? Because it has that possibility, but it's not a 100%. But if they perform the other surgery and save Tripp, that is 100%.
Right. So there's the dilemma.
There's the dilemma. So we have two very morally ambiguous episodes. So, Char, I need to know, what did you like about Tuvix?
All right, Tuvix. First things first. When you see Tuvix on the platform, I think you forgot one character that kind of went into that blend there. It's not just Neelix and Tuvok. It's also the Orchid, which does a really awesome, nice pattern on the Starfleet uniform that Tuvix wears at first. And so I'm totally digging that uniform. I think that should just be adopted by everybody.
I know, right? It's one of the coolest uniforms that I've ever seen in Star Trek, and
truly.
It was a transporter accident. And I think I reviewed this episode on another podcast, and I can't remember which one, but I remember I was like, yeah, it was so weird because he Tuvix looks like he stepped off of the USS Fabulous.
Yeah, he truly does, and he is looking madly fabulous. He really is. And Tuvix is such a fantastic blend of them both. I do not remember the name of the actor.
Tom Wright.
Thank you. He is absolutely perfect. He does such a fantastic job of showing elements of Neelix and Tuvok. And then later on, as we really get to know Tuvix, the entity himself, the one entity, he is also another character. He's essentially kind of playing three people in one body. Which is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Like, the actor did a fantastic job, and I really wish we could have seen him again, and not only just as Tuvix, but just the actor in the show again. And the makeup was a perfect blend, the costume was fantastic. I mean, it just, everything about this character, like, he was warm and inviting, but also, you know, outgoing.
Yeah, and that's the other thing I like about Tuvix, is once you really start to get to know this guy, he is way more personable than Tuvok, because he's got Neelix's charm and social ability, but he has the smarts of Tuvok, and he can serve as both a chef and a security/tactical officer. Pretty amazing.
And apparently he was a better chef than Neelix.
Apparently. So not only is he capable of doing all of these things, but he's actually better at them by being a hybrid. So I like Tuvix as a person. Like, if I were on Voyager, I would probably have become friends with Tuvix. Also, the name Tuvix, kind of cool. I'd say score 1 point for Voyager in that aspect, because it's a cooler name than Sim. So Voyager 1, Enterprise 0. Cooler clothing would be 2. Score another point for Voyager.
Yes.
So just even the look and the feel and just the way they characterize this person, Tuvix, was a major plus for me. What did you think of a Tuvix?
Well, of the episode overall, I thought it was very well crafted. I thought the structure was very nice and very suitable for the episode. I thought Tim Wright, you know, hit it out of the park. His mannerisms were just spot on with Neelix, but his vocal pattern was much more Tuvok, and it was just, he just did such a great job.
He nailed it.
I loved the interaction that he had with Kes, and I love how Kes couldn't handle it. It's just, mm-hmm. I know that they, like, I feel like it would have been very easy to have this weird thing where Kes falls in love with Tuvix because she loves both Tuvok and Neelix, and then she like she struggles and she doesn't know what to do. But the thing is, she knows what to do. She wants Tuvok and Neelix back.
Yeah, I'm so glad they didn't go there too. I agree. I didn't want Kes to fall in love with Tuvix because obviously Tuvix still has feelings for her. You know, via Neelix or Tuvok or what have you. But Kes is weirded out and cannot go there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I just appreciated that so much. And this, you know, like, it, and even though I didn't like what Tuvix did when he went to Kes and said, like, hey, can you talk to the captain for me? Try to convince her that this isn't the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a crappy thing to do, but it was a very real thing to do.
Yeah, that's, I think what I really like about Tuvix is he is real.
I mean, yeah, he's fighting for his life. He's going to use whatever he can to, you know, continue to survive. And yeah, I would try to convince everybody to go talk to the captain and say, don't do this.
Yeah, well, and I really like that scene on the bridge where he really is fighting for himself. You know, I have the right to live.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me so sad that everybody turns his back on him. I don't think that's very realistic. That's one thing that I don't really like about Tuvix. I would think, I mean, it was a few weeks that Tuvix was aboard.
Yes.
That was enough time to forge some friendships. You would think one person would stand up for him.
We did have one person, and that was the doc.
Yeah, that's true, but more on a medical basis. He can't do any harm, and this separating Tuvix against his will was an act of harm. So he's doing that, I think, from a medical perspective, not a friendship perspective.
Well, you're absolutely right. And I think that is the key difference to what you're explaining. But here's the thing. Is that, yes, they were with him for 2 weeks, but they were missing two crewmen that they were together every single day with for 2 years.
That's true. I don't know. I feel like it's sort of like in the 37s where Janeway and Chakotay are about to go into the shuttle bay and nobody wants to leave. Out of 150 people, I just don't think that's plausible. I would have thought one person would have said, but yeah, he has a point. I mean, that would have, I don't know, maybe that would have been more real to me. But that's just my perspective. Maybe people out there agree, maybe they don't. That might actually be a great thing to put in the Babel conference. Maybe, I don't know, the whole Tuvix debate has been raging since 1996.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not sure if I want to spark this again. I take that back. Please don't talk about the Tuvix on the Babel conference. I don't want to start this.
When I was doing my research and before we started talking about this episode, I was thinking, I was like, oh God, when we release this episode, all I can think about is the storm that's going to happen on the Babel conference. And because it's just, there is no point more debated than Tuvix in the Voyager fandom. Would you agree?
Totally.
Yeah.
Go to the Trek PBS any day.
And so I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah, guys, if you have to go there, please keep it civil. But honestly, let's just not and say that we did, okay?
Yeah, exactly. There we go.
All right.
So, okay, maybe I'm trying to rethink what your point. I'm trying to rethink of what you're saying. And maybe it would have added a little bit more drama of, say, Paris saying, you know what? You know, like, we're here to seek out new life. And we discovered it.
There it sits.
And, you know, there it sits.
Yeah.
And so maybe this isn't the right way to go. And like, the thing is, they would need to frame it in a way where he could say that, but then not be a jerk with Tuvok and Neelix later, where Neelix shows up and goes, what the hell, man?
Right.
I thought we were friends.
Right, right. Yeah, they would have to frame it that way. And it is a difficult conundrum because it doesn't matter what happens. Somebody loses in the end. And obviously Tuvix ultimately got split up. We get Tuvok and Neelix back. And Janeway does what she does. She has to make the tough decision. And a lot of people want to blame Janeway for that. A lot of people hate Janeway for what she did. Ultimately, something had to happen, and she made the best decision she could. I'm not blaming Janeway at all, as a matter of fact.
Well, okay, so the one we talked about what we liked, and now we can go into stuff that we didn't like. So you've already talked about that you would have preferred at least one person to stick up for Tuvix. What else was there that you didn't like about the episode?
Well, okay, one thing that I kind of thought the Enterprise did a little better was Archer justifying his decision by saying that the Enterprise needs Trip and Earth needs Enterprise. I mean, that's a pretty big cause. Could Voyager have gone with the same angle where we are out here alone in the Delta Quadrant and we need both people? We need as many resources as we can. And even though Tuvix is awesome, maybe two heads and four hands are better than just one.
I don't know if they could use that argument because in the Zindi arc, they're literally trying to save humanity. And in right. Voyager, they're trying to save 170 people.
That's true. It's a little disparity there.
And they lose people all the time. And I'm not saying that it's that Jane was just like, whatever, we lost another person. But the thing is, the main reason why you need people is because of their ingenuity, their knowledge. And mm-hmm. in Tuvix, that knowledge was not gone. That ingenuity was not gone. That resourcefulness is not gone. It was just combined into one person. And so I think on a starship, it's not so much hands and feet. It's the mind that you need. And so I don't think they could use that argument.
Okay, that's an interesting point. Especially when it seemed like Tuvix was doing just fine in any aspect of any job.
Yeah.
So are they really losing anything or aren't they? Okay, I think maybe I have to concede that argument, but I had to bring it up.
No, absolutely. I mean, I didn't think you were arguing any particular way, but I think that is definitely a question that needs to be asked when we compare the two. And I feel like, yeah, like, I think similitude is Tuvix ramped up. With the stakes. Now, there might be more emotional impact in Tuvix, but I feel like the stakes are definitely higher in Similitude, because one thing that I forgot to mention in the summary in Similitude is they're trapped in a nebula, and all these magnetic particles are hitting the ship, and they can't figure out a way to get out, but they knew that Trip would be able to figure out a way to get them out, and so Sim figured out a way, and... And so, like, if they did not get out of that nebula, they were going to die. If they died, right. Earth was going to die. And in Tuvix, it was really just all just moral conundrum. Like, there was no bad guys after them. The ship wasn't going to explode. It was nothing like that. It was just like, hey, we have this situation. We have to fix it. And mm-hmm. so that's, I think, that's one strength that Similitude had that Tuvix didn't, is it was very sci-fi, very like, oh my God, what's going to happen in the next act?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Similitude has way more of an emotional impact on a lot of fronts, especially, okay, the opener. Just even starting out with that, in Similitude, it's a funeral.
Right.
And we do not know that it's for Sim. It looks like it's Trip. You don't know that it's Sim because we have not met Sim yet. And we didn't even see a funeral or really any mourning for that matter for Tuvix. None.
Well, oh.
Maybe at the very end, I mean, Janeway, obviously her heart is very heavy after what she did. She kind of has that pause in the corridor, like absorbing what she just did. But other than that, there's nothing of it from Kes or Tuvok or any of the other members of the crew. Nothing. We just jump to the next episode. That's one thing that I feel is really lacking, but you could also blame that just on the structure of the show itself. They were going to go from week to week to week, and episode's over. So onward we go to the next mission.
I see what you're saying. But the thing is that I loved how Tuvix ended because there wasn't a lengthy denouement or falling action or anything like that because you knew that Janeway had to live with her decision. And
right.
that's all, she just needed to leave. She stood there for a second and then went on with her duties because that's what a captain has to do. And I liked that there wasn't any funeral. I liked that there wasn't any post-discussion.
Okay, I'm not saying that there had to be a funeral, but it would be nice if he maybe would have been referenced, oh, I don't know, once at some point in the future in the series, instead of completely forgetting that he ever happened. Like, even if Tuvok would have brought up one time, you know, when I was merged with Neelix and we were Tuvix, this happened, blah, 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 and I learned this. That would have just been fantastic. Yeah, I didn't really need, like, a coda at the end of the episode or anything like that. Just sometime in the future, acknowledge the fact that he did live.
Because
Enterprise
did
that, too. They acknowledged Sim.
Oh, they did?
They did, in Harbinger, because T'Pol tells Trip about Sim confessing his feelings for her.
That's right, that's right. Yeah, I think that would have been nice. That would have been good, because we had so much Neelix and Tuvok interaction after that, too.
Yeah, and come on, bring this up.
we had a lot of great episodes, and like, this was the episode where Tuvok lost his memory. That was after this, correct?
Way after. It was season 6.
Yeah, way after. And so Neelix could have had just one little conversation where he goes, he's like, listen, like, we shared a consciousness for 2 weeks. I know what you're thinking right now, or something like that, or like, I know you don't know, like, I know you don't mean that, or like, or she's, or like, he says it to somebody else and says, like, listen, well, you know, during the Tuvix, you know, debacle, I, you know, like, I learned something about myself through Tuvok, and I feel like I owe him, you know, just like any kind of any kind of offhanded comment like that.
Yeah, that would have been so fantastic, because Tuvix really did have a, in my mind, an impact. The one way, though, that it falls short, and I really can't blame anybody for this, but the circumstances kind of suck. Because had it been a different situation behind the scenes, I mean, I could have seen Tuvix becoming a permanent member of the crew. And the only reason, you know, at the end of the episode, it's not going to happen because you know that those actors have a contract. And that was not in the days where people got killed off. Nowadays, yeah. Oh, hell yeah, bring it on. But in those days, if the actor had a contract and you know they were going to stick around for 7 years, there was no way that this was happening unless we already heard some hype about it. And so actually, when I watched Tuvix for the very first time way back in 96, I knew Tuvix was going away and it didn't have the emotional impact on me that Similitude did. Believe it or not.
Oh, because you thought that Trip could potentially die in 2003?
Well, not necessarily. And actually, I didn't watch Similitude in 2003. I very recently went through Enterprise and finally got through watching it.
Oh, that's right.
But what I really liked emotionally from the impact of that is I knew Sim was kind of destined to die no matter what. It seemed no matter what the poor guy was going to do, he was going to die. And I ultimately knew that he was going to give himself up for Trip. Okay, so in one of the very last scenes, right before he's about to report to sickbay, T'Pol comes to his quarters and basically lets him know that, hey, there is a little something there, gives him a beautiful kiss. And it was great into storytelling aspect because I did not know if the Trip and T'Pol romance was going to go anywhere at that point. I thought, well, they took advantage of it. If this never happens again, they did give us this.
Yeah, so it's more than we got really with cool. Chakotay and Janeway.
Right? They could have done that so many times and refused to go there. And one thing I love about Enterprise in general is just the fact that Trip and T'Pol talk about their freaking feelings. It's amazing! At least they learned that.
And in Similitude, we had a lot more of those moments, those one-on-one moments where it was T'Pol and Sim, and Archer and Sim, and Phlox and Sim. And that was my favorite scene, was when Sim goes to sick bay, and Phlox has to perform this procedure, and Sim goes, he's like, hey, you know, even though I remember Trip's childhood, I also remember my own, and you raised me, you're a damn good father, and then Phlox chokes up and says, you're a damn good son, and I'm just like, oh my god.
I know.
I can't go on.
So sad.
The feels. Yeah. The feels.
The feels. Yes. Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about with emotional impact. That story has so much more of it than Tuvix does, in my opinion.
I would have to agree, just because And Tom Wright was in an interview about Tuvix, and they said, they're like, do you think it was the right decision to kill off Tuvix? And he says, he's like, if you don't kill off Tuvix, there's no drama. It's there. Mm. There's no drama because it's like, okay, well, I guess we'll keep you. You know, like end of episode. And
that's true. There is no real drama with that.
And it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense from a story perspective, from a series perspective, and also from a captaincy perspective. And I know a lot of people are going to argue with me and disagree with me. I don't care. I've talked about this episode for years, and you're not going to change my mind. So let's talk about that. Before we go heavily into Sim a little bit more, what do you think about the captain's decision in Tuvok? Are you for it? Are you against it? Are you against it but understand it? What?
Honestly, I hate this conversation. I hate this aspect of the debate. Was Janeway right? Was she wrong? I think it was one of those... I think she came to the conclusion of the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the one. And therefore, she had to save two lives as opposed to one. Mm-hmm. And got Tuvok and Neelix back.
And we talk about this a lot in the show, not just To the Journey, but in Star Trek and also in the movies, like what you just referenced, the needs of the many. We talk about that in Wrath of Khan and Search of Spock and everything like that. But mm-hmm. also we talk about it in Voyager, where the Doc is programmed to save as many lives as possible. And he's also like, when two lives are in equal danger, which one do you save? We heavily talked about this in an episode mm-hmm. where he had a nervous breakdown.
Yes.
And so, you know, like, where do you go from that? And with this one, when you're in a triage situation or when you're in a medical situation, you try to go by the numbers. And this isn't a triage situation, but you have two crewmen that are no longer here that you can bring back by the sacrifice of one. And, you know, some people say, like, oh, well, you know, like, if they're being held hostage, you know, would you just... And, like, some terrorists were saying, oh, well, we need you to kill this one individual on your crew, and then we'll give you your two hostages back. Would you do it? Well, obviously wouldn't. But that's not the same thing. That's the beauty of this this science fiction show, is that it presents us with things that are unique. And it's kind of hard to compare this to something else.
It really, yeah, absolutely. Which is why I think we have to compare sci-fi to sci-fi.
And that's exactly what we're doing. And so, right. So you're logged on as... I don't think I ever really got your answer.
I think I have to agree with her, although I understand the opposition, but I do think that she did the right thing. But she's really so screwed no matter what she does. I mean, you could argue any of the above and try to justify that you are right. There is no right answer, and that's why I have to go with Janeway, and I don't blame her. That's why she makes the big bucks. That's why she is the captain. She has to live with the really heavy duty stuff.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Is that I agree with Janeway. I will defend Janeway. She's the captain. She has to make these decisions, life and death situations. And this is a life and death situation. And she needs her crew, and she needed to save her crew. And people will use this as an example of why Janeway's a crappy captain. No, this is the example of why she's an amazing captain. It may not be the best thing to do on a personal perspective, but from a captaincy perspective, this was the right call.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I love the fact that as persuasive as Kes was, because, you know, she goes to Janeway, I want Neelix back. I don't think that is what changed Janeway's mind, if there was any mind to be changed. I don't think that even really hit the equation. I think that was for emotional appeal for us as an audience, not for Janeway. I want to put that out there.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think you're right. So now we can kind of cross over into similitude. Archer had... see, like, Janeway had one decision to make. Archer had, like, three.
Mm-hmm.
So do you agree or disagree with Archer's decisions in this episode? Like, did you agree with making a clone? Let's start with that one.
Okay, to start off with the clone, yes, because with the knowledge we had at the time, it was going to live for 15 days. It was going to have a short lifespan, but it was serving a noble cause. And even though it maybe seems a little selfish of him to maybe go for that, because Enterprise needs Trip and you know, Earth needs Enterprise, well, What would you do if you were out there and you had this little sponge that could turn into a human being? I mean, I have to agree with him and say I would probably do the same thing, especially if the operation, which we thought at the time wasn't going to really do any harm, like you know how Phlox tells Kid Trip or Kid Sim, it's not going to hurt at all.
Yeah.
You're not going to feel a thing. Well, so be it. He will live out his lifespan and have a short but good life, and we're going to save Trip in the process. That I don't, even though the whole cloning thing it could maybe be a little bit of a roadblock for some people, I do think that he made the right decision with the knowledge he had at the time with that. What do you think?
Well, I think that a lot of aspects need to come into this, like everything that you said. And also, I mean, they're in the Expanse. They're alone. And the life of their mm-hmm. species is on the line. We've seen in our history, whenever we feel like our lives are on the line or our way of life or our freedom is on the line, we give up a lot of things and we kind of turn our backs to a lot of moral issues. And that's kind of going on right now. And
mm-hmm.
and so I feel like when I don't always agree with Archer, because I don't always agree with Archer. I think there's mm-hmm. a lot of things that he did and does that I'm kind of like, no, like this was the wrong move. Or you need to, like, if you are going to make these decisions, you need to offer yourself up for the repercussions. But with this one, I feel like the stakes were high enough to say, okay, this may be against somebody's laws, but they're not ours. And so we don't, like,
because right.
he even stated that. He's like, we don't yeah. answer to the lysosome, whatever, I don't know, like what they're called.
I don't remember either, but yeah, he does state that directly. We don't follow their laws or their code.
Yeah, and so I feel like with this decision, yes, I agree, because, but the thing, like, one thing that also hits a little bit more home with Similitude than Tuvix is that we're nowhere close to having being presented with a Tuvix situation, but we are quite close to having ourselves presented with a Similitude situation.
With cloning. Oh, yeah, sure. I think it will happen in our lifetimes. We will have a human clone, definitely.
And whether or not we can use said clone just for medical experiments or medical transplant
right.
and things like that. We're like I think the Michael Bay movie, The Island, dealt with this, where, like, if you bought a clone for yourself and then you got into some trouble, you could, like, take their heart or take their lungs or anything like that, and
mm-hmm.
it would just be on,
like,
the ready.
Like the Zidians, harvesting
yeah.
organs.
Harvesting organs, but it's, like, pre-made to order organs. And
yeah.
Yeah, and so, like, yeah,
I mean,
these
yeah,
are the questions
okay.
that need to be asked.
Let's talk about that, because that is, in a nutshell, what they are doing here. I mean, it mm-hmm. is that ethical or isn't it? You could argue both sides pretty heavily. I'm on the side of it was okay to make the clone just because the procedure was going to be harmless. But if you're taking out somebody's freaking lung, you know, or something that's absolutely necessary to have for life, that's kind of a different thing, I think.
Yeah.
And again, Babel Conference, please keep it tame.
Yeah, keep it tame, keep it civil. And so, okay, so that's our stance on the first decision. The second decision would be not to pursue the experimental procedure to extend Sim's life.
Yeah, this is a lot tougher. Because at risk is Trip. But then Sim is here. It's just like the Tuvix thing. He is here. Trip is in a coma. He's going to die eventually. Mm-hmm. Whose life do you save? And the thing is, I think the one thing in favor of Trip is the fact that the procedure is not proven at all. It could fail, and then they
right.
both die.
Exactly, and I think that's where I'm falling too, is where I'm okay with Archer's decision on that as well, for what you just stated. It was a very slim chance that it could work, and if it didn't, then we have two people dead instead of one. Again, we're playing a numbers game.
Right, and then the whole idea, well, if we don't have Trip, then we've lost a really brilliant engineer who's going to be absolutely crucial as far as dealing with this whole Zindiar goes, yada, yada, yada. Can he, as a captain, in any way justify that, say, to Admiral Forrest?
Right.
No, I don't think yeah. he can. I think he is thinking like a captain. It does kind of make me raise an eyebrow on the first glance, but if you think about it, he's not doing the wrong thing from his perspective.
from his perspective. Yeah, exactly. And there, it's alarming how much you can justify when you use those
right?
terms.
The third one is
going ahead with the procedure and curtailing Sim's lifespan, short it may be.
Right.
What do you think of that situation? I guess with push comes to shove, if we agree the first two, we kind of have to agree to the,
right.
the last one, right?
I'm kind of glad that Sim went a little more willingly than Tuvix did.
Yes.
Sim was definitely much more at peace with the fact that he was going to die. And I liked the little conversation he had with Archer in the shuttle bay when he thought about escaping. He's like, what am I going to do? Pee in a bottle as an old man? Really? Is this the kind of life that I want? No, I will sacrifice myself. It's for a more noble cause than preserving my own life. And then that way I will live on in Trip. That was kind of a sigh of relief in a way, just because that does make it a little easier to deal with emotionally. Mm-hmm. But like I said earlier, I always think Sim sort of knew, he always knew he was different. And I think he knew that he was destined to die. He was made to serve Trip. And then he kind of comes full circle at the very end. Like, I guess this is what I was meant to do.
And I think that's the key differences between Tuvix and I really appreciate those differences, because I didn't want just Tuvix the remake. Mm-hmm. With Similitude, you have this person was made intentionally. Tuvix was not.
Right.
Similitude had a short lifespan, and Tuvix potentially could live as long as he needed to. And then at the end, Sim was able to make peace with it and then realize that that's what he was designed to do, and so he's fulfilling his purpose, and then he went the noble way out. And Tuvix, there was no noble purpose other than trying to get Tuvok and Neelix back, which he felt were alive inside of him. And so I felt it would have been inappropriate for Sim to pull a Tuvix.
Yeah, it just wouldn't have worked for the character at all. So I'm glad that didn't happen. I think it happened the way that it needed to.
I agree.
Yeah, for the character of Sim. So, well, let's bring it all home. What do you think about whether one episode is better than the other? Do you think one is better than the other?
I can honestly say that I don't think one episode is better than the other. And I know that may be a cop-out, but they're equal, but just in very different ways, because Tuvix had a huge impact on the show, or at least the audience's perspective of the show, as well as their perspective of Janeway. I don't think Similitude had that impact on Enterprise, but I feel like it was a lot more emotional. I thought there was a lot higher stakes, there was a lot more action. And so from an episode perspective, it might be better, but from a series perspective, I think Tuvix is better. So It's kind of a toss up for me, because I really do see them as equal in those aspects.
Interesting, because I think I'm going to disagree with you here. I would say, aside from on the Trek BBS where the Tuvix debate thread lives on in infamy, I don't think Tuvix had that much of an impact on the series as a whole. It's a memorable episode just because it is so controversial, but if I want this kind of a story, I'm going to go to Similitude, because it kicks me in the heart so hard. It really resonates with me more, and I feel like story structure-wise, it tells the story better. And I don't know. I attach much more to Similitude than I do to Tuvix. So I think Enterprise wins out. Plus, there is the acknowledgement later on in the series that actually acknowledges Sim, which is nice, which mm-hmm. Tuvix did not have, that we mentioned before. And so I think Similitude and Enterprise win this contest.
Well, that's where we land. Char believes that Similitude is the better episode, and I am feeling straight down the middle.
All right. Well, Tuvix and Similitude aren't the only things that we've been talking about here on Trek FM this week. And so here's a little glimpse at what else is happening on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Because it's actually legitimately trying to say something.
Yes, very Star Trek. It may be the most Star Trek of all Star Trek.
Yeah, it's definitely what I would point to as being, this is what science fiction is about.
Earl Grey.
Kovac will tell us to experience Bij sometimes, in which case we will draw the Bij card, Klingon word for pain.
Is it our birthday?
It is. It is. It's going to be a lot of fun.
To the journey!
That's the one thing we could take from Homecoming is, like, paragraph one, Chakotay and Seven break up. That's for real.
Yeah, they that shake happened. Hands and go, hey, it's been fun. It's been nice. Thanks for the picnic.
See ya.
Commentary, Trek stars.
Fair at this enough. Point, like, they could say, yeah, why not? Star Wars crossover. I would essentially say, fine. Both franchises are dead. Let's just sew them together and see what happens.
Melodic Treks.
One of the most well thought out alien races that you only see in one episode.
Yeah, and the music is it's menacing without being over menacing, if that makes sense.
Axanar, the official podcast.
I think Justin Lin is a fascinating choice to direct because the Fast and the Furious movies, even though, they're action, adventure, road race movies, are really about a family.
The 602 Club.
That's really cool, though. I mean, I think that is a fantastic way to get to see just about any movie is kind of being able to watch it through a kid's eyes.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We are on any platform where you can get your podcasts. And one thing that really helps us out is iTunes reviews. We definitely have one. Thank you to J.M. Scott 11. I believe this is somebody we know from the Babel Conference. He gave us 5 stars and wrote us a short review, and we definitely thank him for doing that because that helps us out with the iTunes rankings. And here, another way that you can help us out, besides writing a review, and if you haven't, you really should, but also consider going on to patreon.com/trekfm and consider becoming a subscriber. We have various levels of monthly donation, and anything and everything helps us out to keep the network running, so please consider doing that. We also have a sponsor, so let's hear about that as well.
Our sponsor for the show is Audible.com. Audible is a great way for you to read all the books you've always wanted to, but never thought you had the time for. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
And we also need to thank our associate producer, Lisa Stevens. Follow her on Twitter at Flip18 and tell her how awesome she is for supporting To the Journey. All right, with all of those orders of business out of the way, we get to move on to next week. What are we doing?
Next week, we are doing an episode rewrite, a fan favorite, and it is the episode Cold Fire, where Kes is exploring her new and developing mental prowess, and things go awry as they actually discover some new Okapans.
Yes, they bring the fire.
Bring the fire.
But you're going to have to wait until next week to hear all about that. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!